Hurricane Irene gathers strength and homeowners brace for the worst.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Steve Chiatakis. Evacuations have already begun in North Carolina as residents leave their homes in advance of Hurricane Irene. The storm has strengthened to a Category 3 and is expected to make landfall on the East Coast this weekend. That, combined with yesterday's earthquake, has some East Coasters rethinking their insurance options, including our very own Nancy Marshall Genzer.
Okay, Mother Nature, I'm getting the message. You think I need more insurance, specifically of the earthquake and flood variety. Well, Mother Dear, my husband and I already have earthquake insurance. We felt yesterday's quake. A few pictures got knocked around, but our house's foundation wasn't cracked or anything, so we didn't use the earthquake insurance this time. Russell Watson is an independent insurance broker near me in suburban Maryland. He's only sold one earthquake insurance policy in 28 years. There's more interest now. This morning, Watson got a call from a client who was sure he had quake insurance.
Yeah, he said, yeah, I'm sure I'm covered, right? And I said, no, you're not.
As far as flood insurance goes, Watson does sell it. He has to buy it through the federal government, which helps pay flood insurance claims. But Watson is telling people not to run out and buy it in a panic.
Use your own judgment. If you're on top of a hill and there's no river around you, you're not going to get flooded.
Well, we do live on a hill, so I guess I can hold off on flood insurance for now. Is that okay with you, Irene? Watching the skies in Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And the markets are having a mixed morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 0.3%, 31 points to 11,208. The NASDAQ is down less than 0.1% to 2,444. The S&P 500 up 0.3% to 1166. And I hope you've had your coffee because I have a big number for you. $1.3 trillion. That's our budget deficit for this year, according to the Congressional Budget Office. The CBO also predicts we'll have a tough time cutting that budget, partly because it expects unemployment will remain above 8% for years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
North Korea's reclusive leader, Kim Jong-il, is on a rare foreign trip to Russia. South Korea says it shows the North's willingness to consider new economic cooperation, first and foremost, building a gas pipeline connecting South Korea to Russia. Peter Van Dyke reports from Moscow.
Kim Jong-il is afraid of flying, so he rode his personal armored train across Siberia to meet with President Dmitry Medvedev. Stops to inspect a hydroelectric dam and a new pipeline pumping Russian oil to China are clues as to what the two leaders talked about. North Korea is in dire economic straits, and Moscow wants to expand its economic presence in Asia near China. At the same time, Russia and other countries want North Korea to drop its nuclear weapons program. Fyodor Lukyanov is the editor of the journal Russia in Global Affairs. He says wielding an international political stick hasn't worked, so shifting to an economic carrot may be a better solution.
Russia is trying to look at North Korea not as a crazy rock state, but as a normal partner for a regional economic project.
Lukyanov says it is impossible to predict how Kim Jong-il will react. He took 4 days to get to the meeting with Medvedev. Any movement on the Korean peninsula is likely to be just as slow. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
The Environmental Protection Agency is getting tough on coal power plants. A new rule requires a drop in sulfur dioxide emissions of more than 70% by 2014. Dan Bobkoff of Midwest reporting project Changing Gears has that story.
Remember acid rain? We don't hear as much about it anymore because regulations force coal power plants to clean up their smokestacks. The weapon? So-called scrubbers that stop stuff like sulfur dioxide from seeping into the air. A few years ago, the industry largely switched to a new stainless steel design.
This was supposed to be the best alloy available at that point in time, the most cost-effective alloy available at that point in time.
Bill Sigmund is a senior vice president at American Electric Power. To meet EPA requirements, the Ohio company has been installing scrubbers at many of its coal plants, costing as much as $700 million each. They're supposed to last 25 years. But very quickly, Sigmund and his team started noticing some serious corrosion.
It's almost like a laser torch or something that's eating the metal itself.
So the industry called on its scientists at the Electric Power Research Institute to investigate. John Schingeldecker is the senior project manager.
For utilities that have built in the last 10 years, that's a very big deal. It's costing a lot more in the short term than they anticipated.
American Electric Power alone has already spent $30 million putting on protective coatings to treat the corrosion. Mehruz Zamazadeh says the industry should have done its homework. He's general manager of Matco Services, a corrosion analysis firm.
Stainless steels are in general corrosion resistant. However, like everything else in life, they have their limits.
All this comes as those new EPA rules force utilities to make decisions, invest in coal scrubbers, shut the plants down, or replace them with something else, like natural gas. Sandy Buchanan is with the advocacy group Ohio Citizen Action.
The question of whether they're going to install the scrubbers, the question of whether they're going to fix the scrubbers, I mean, every penny of that is going to get passed along to consumers in one form or another.
Oh, and by the way, the cost of a new natural gas plant, about the same as one new scrubber. In Cleveland, I'm Dan Bobkoff for Marketplace.
And finally, Mongolia's Olympic athletes have themselves a sponsor, one of the world's biggest mining companies, Rio Tinto. It's helping pay to send Mongolia's tiny team, about 30 athletes, to the London Games. You could call it enlightened self-interest. Mineral-rich Mongolia is a huge battleground for mining companies. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Oil extraction's a tough gig, so oil companies are shelling out big money for qualified people. Petroleum engineering degree, anyone?
Coming out as a female PhD from America, I can probably get at least six figures when I start, which seems ridiculous because I've had no actual work experience.
I'm Bob Moon, new oil technology at a high price. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.